right, church. So this morning we will finish up in Psalm 23. Last week we discovered that as sheep we are prone to wander, prone to walk away from our shepherd. Sometimes this wandering is done deliberately. Sometimes we choose to roam from the paths of righteousness in pursuit of sin and temptation. Sometimes we stray aimlessly or unintentionally, and that's done as a result of a lack of focus in our lives. Thankfully, our faithful shepherd loves us so much that he refuses to allow us to slip away and be lost forever. So first, he calls us to back to the path of righteousness, and he does so through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And if we don't return to him, if we persist in wandering from him in pursuit of that sin in life, then as he seeks to guide us in the paths of righteousness, then he may choose lovingly chasten or discipline us when we go astray. That discipline from the Lord is done in order to counsel or to teach us. It's done in order to keep us from harming ourselves or damaging the reputation of our Lord. That discipline is done in order to stir us to repentance and return us to the right path. Now, the Bible uses the imagery of a loving father in order to describe the discipline of our Lord. And so, before we get into Psalm 23, allow me to read to you a passage of Scripture that comes from Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 5 through 11 says this: "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when corrected by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and are not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those that have been trained by it." Man, aren't we thankful for the great shepherd who will look after us and provide for us all that we need physically and spiritually in our lives? We have a loving shepherd, and he takes care of all that we need so that we as his sheep can boldly proclaim, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack exactly what I need." And so what we've learned so far from last week, according to verse number 1, if we confess the Lord as our shepherd, then we are admitting that we are his sheep. And in doing so, we will not lack in what we need. And so in verses 2 through 3, we see that we know that the Lord will meet our every need. The Lord will meet our physical need, and he will meet our spiritual need. This morning in verses 4 and 5, we're going to learn the value of trusting the Lord for our protection. Look at verse 4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Here it's revealing that our shepherd will be with us in the darkest of times. For many people, the word valley makes them think of large, flat, open, grassy expanse lying peacefully between two mountains. That's not the valley that's being depicted in our text this morning. No, the valley of this text is one that is of a deep ravine or a gorge. It's usually dark and damp and usually is encased with steep stone walls along the side, so it's virtually inescapable. See, in Palestine, the grass grows in a very short season. And so, as a result of that, shepherds would struggle to feed their sheep. They would struggle to feed their flocks throughout the rest of the year. So often it would become necessary for the shepherd to intentionally lead its flock into that valley, into that deep ravine. Because there, well, the plant life, the grass would grow in that cool, damp soil at the bottom of that valley. And so passing through a valley would be necessary in order for those sheep to find the nourishment that they need. And sometimes it would be necessary in order to get from one pasture unto another. Some scholars even believe that the Valley of the Shadow of Death was the name of an actual valley. It was an extremely dangerous one through which shepherds would lead their flock as they were forced to navigate that terrain. So when we think about this text for today, what does it mean for us? Like, what about now? How does this apply to us here? Right? Valleys are a symbol that represent the darkest time of life. The valley of the shadow of death represents life's greatest struggles, life's most difficult seasons. Whether that season is brought on over a severe sickness, an illness, a disease. Maybe it's a sudden attack on our health. Could be a serious accident, deadly weather conditions, terrorist activity, war, famine, extreme poverty. Whatever the condition is, David is testifying that he was not afraid to go into life's darkest valleys because he was comforted by the presence and the protection of his Lord. Although he's defenseless on his own, he knows that he's not alone. As children of God, there is never a situation that we might face in our lives that God is not aware of, because our Savior never leaves us or forsakes us. He is with us always. And so David finds comfort. He finds comfort specifically in the rod and the staff of the shepherd. And so a rod would be the symbol of the Lord's strength and protection. The rod was a club. It was a weapon. It was a weapon that the shepherd carried in order to fight off animals or thieves. And so David's comforted by the Lord's strength and protection. Then he's also comforted by the staff of his shepherd. The staff would represent God's guidance and his loving kindness. The staff was something that the shepherd would use in order to deal with his sheep. The staff was not a weapon, but rather it was a tool. Most staffs would have a hook on the end of it. And the shepherd would use that hook in order to grab a hold of a sheep's leg or even their neck in order to pull them out from the dangerous place in which they find themselves. The shepherd would use the staff to either nudge one of the sheep when it strays, or perhaps even motivate it to action in order to get it going in the proper direction. See, David was fearless in the darkest valleys of life because he knew that the Lord would protect him from the deadly threats. He knew that the Lord would keep him at his side in the times of darkness. He knew that the Lord would be with him every step of his journey until he passed safely through to the other side. And so we see the rod and the staff being mentioned together. And by doing so, it helps to paint a beautiful picture of a divine shepherd who can be trusted. He can be trusted. And what do we learn from the rod and the staff? We learn that our God is always present with us. He's ready to defend. He's watching over us. He is prepared to protect us from danger and to rescue us when we wander. So how comforting it is to know that we are never alone in the darkest valleys of our lives, because the Lord has promised us his unfailing presence in the lives of his sheep, if you belong to him. And so, if you belong to him, then what we've discovered is that he leads us, right? The shepherd leads us. He walks ahead of us, showing us where to go. Then something very beautiful happens. Then when we find ourselves in the valleys of life, in those dark and desperate seasons of life, he goes from leading us to walking beside us. The text says, "I fear no evil, for you are with me." The New Living Translation, I think, renders this verse very beautifully. There it says, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me." Which means, church, don't miss the significance of what this is saying. When we're in the valley, our shepherd moves from the front to our side, to comfort us, to guide us, and I would even say to pick us up in those times in which we need it. And so in verse number 5, notice how he says, it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows." Oh, I got to go back to the Praying the Psalm book that most of you have in your possession, and hopefully you're still using it as a resource. Listen to what this says. That gives Psalm 23 such power is expressed in the heart of verse 4. "For you are with me." The Lord is with me, whether I am resting in green pastures or among my enemies. In the house of the Lord or the shadow of death. He wants me to remember his presence is with me all my days. It goes on to say, so whether you're wherever you are, even in the valley of the shadow of death itself, lie down and rest easy in the shepherd's watchful care. Oh, that's beautiful. My microphone's cutting in and out, is it not? It is. And so in verse number 5, where it says that you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy, God is with us in the midst of everything. He anoints our head with oil. A cup overflows. Here we see that there's not a circumstance, there's not a time, there's not a place There's not a situation. There's not an environment in our lives where our shepherd has failed to meet our need or he's overlooked our struggle. It doesn't happen that way. Because our great shepherd has provided us with everything that we need. And so, he strengthens and encourages us through his word. Not only that, he empowers and refreshes us through his spirit. So we have his word and we have his spirit active in our lives. And then he overfills our cup with his love and his presence. All of that results in a deep sense of joy, even in the midst of life's greatest hardships and struggles. Through all of life's storms and struggles, we can find and experience peace only in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so as David looks back upon his life, he could see the great faithfulness of his shepherd. Verse number 6 says this, says, "Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That word, surely, does not express probability. No, it is expressing certainty. It is a word of confidence. In other words, David could face the uncertainty of his future based upon the confidence he has in the certainty of his God. I love what Charles Spurgeon says about this verse. Spurgeon said this. He says that goodness and mercy follow him always, the black days as well as the bright days. Goodness supplies his needs, and mercy blots out his sins. Ooh, hang on. The goodness of God supplies our need, gives us exactly what we need. And the mercy of God blots out, forgives, releases us of our sin through the power of repentance and then through his Son. So David knew, he experienced enough in his life to know that God is good. There was a time when we would be able to say, God is good. Some of you know that. God is good all the time. As we wrap up Psalm 23, I want you to think about this. The great shepherd willingly became the Lamb of God. He became the Lamb of God so that he could suffer and die on our behalf. The Lamb of God that was crucified at Calvary as the sacrificial lamb for the payment of sin. And so, therefore, the great shepherd not only became the Lamb of God, the great shepherd became the gate, the doorway, the only entrance into the sheepfold of our Heavenly Father. So the great shepherd becomes the Lamb of God, and the Lamb of God becomes the gate that gives us entrance into the family of God. And it gets even better. Because the great shepherd is coming back for his sheep, right? And then he's going to transport us into his presence eternally so that we might dwell with our great shepherd forever. Forever. Psalm 23 is a beautiful psalm. But may you understand, the beauty of this psalm only applies to those that belong unto the Father. How wonderful it is to be one of his sheep. I mean, in this moment, can you rightfully say that the Lord is
your shepherd. That you put your faith, your trust into his care and control. If the Lord is your shepherd, then all of these promises belong to you, right? If the great shepherd is your Lord and Savior, then this psalm is for you. But if you haven't, and you don't belong to him, then this is a picture of what you're missing out in this life. May you know that the great shepherd willingly laid down his life so that you don't have to. He paid the penalty that our sin deserves by giving up his life, right? If we'll believe, it's not just about hearing, it's hearing and believing. If we'll put our faith and trust in the Son of God, then God will welcome us into his sheepfold. He'll welcome us into his family, and then the great shepherd will provide for us all that we need. Never leave us. Never forsake us. His rod and his staff will comfort us. He will defend us. And he will correct us. He will guide us. All beautiful truths that can belong to each and every one of us if we'll truly submit and surrender our lives unto him. In a moment, I'm going to pray. We're going to sing a song. We're going to be done today. But as we sing, we have an opportunity. Elders and I were here at the front. If you want to know what it means to give your heart unto Jesus, if you want to know what it means to experience salvation, or if you need somebody to pray with you, to encourage you, this is the time for that. We invite you to come and to receive those prayers. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for being a good and loving shepherd. God, help us to be willing to admit that, like sheep, on our own, we are dumb. We're stupid. We're easily distracted, prone to wander, always getting ourselves into dangerous circumstances and situations. And God, we need a better way. So help us to turn into the great shepherd. Help us to submit and surrender our lives unto him. Help us to follow him as he leads us in the path of righteousness. And as we enter into those dark and difficult seasons of life, may we find comfort in knowing that our Savior has now moved from the front of us to walking beside us, to love us, to encourage us, to guide us, to comfort us, to see us through to the other side. And in this moment, Father, any burdens that we're carrying on our own, again, may we lay them at your feet. And this time, Father, as we lay them at your feet, may we stop returning to pick them back up again. We just trust you. Fully submitting and surrender every circumstance of our lives unto you, trusting in you. May we be encouraged by your word, strengthened by your spirit, to walk in faithful obedience unto your will. Be pleased by what you see from us in this moment. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.